now that I'm sitting as a chief marketing officer, it's just as important to do some of the same fundamental things that I did back in the first part of my career, regardless of company, regardless of job title, regardless of seniority. You still have to build your network. Truly one of the most important things that I've been able to do, both internally and externally.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Sunny Side Up podcast. I'm your host today, Rory Costello. Today, we got a great guest. I'm super excited to talk to Prashant Bhatia. We're going to be talking about how you can improve organizational alignment and what strategies you can use to get departments to talk together, grow as a team, right? So Prashant's been in the enterprise software industry for over 25 years now, most recently joining SpendHQ as the chief marketing officer. Prior to that, he was CMO at Blue Ridge Global. And before that, he was working with Radial as the SVP of technology services. So throughout Prashant's career, he's been focused on selling to value creation. And that's partially due to his background in product management and product marketing, right? Today, super excited to talk about how his career has transitioned and the values he's taken from that. So Prashant, really excited to talk to you. Welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So why don't we kick it off with just you filling us in a little bit about your background, right? I understand you've done a few different things at a few different organizations and you've taken little nuggets of wisdom throughout your time. So why don't you kind of paint the picture for us?
Wonderful. I appreciate the opportunity. So I've been, I'd say, very fortunate in my career over the past 25 plus years, which dates me a little bit, but I've really considered my background to really have three different phases. When I came out of college as an electrical engineer, I knew that's not what I wanted to do. And I ended up joining a software company. And here we are 25 years later, still working in enterprise software, which is fantastic. But I really spent the first part of my career, I break it up into three categories. So the first part of my career was spent with doing product management, really being a subject matter expert, primarily in the supply chain space, being a product manager, running pre-sales, doing demos, being sales support, and really being that subject matter expert. And that was fun. I got to build a lot of products. I got to speak to a lot of clients. I got to work with sales and see how the sales side of the house was run. But I'm not a salesperson in my heart at the end of the day. So being a product person in a SME was really interesting. So I did that from basically for the first 15 plus years of my career. I then transitioned over into product marketing. And so that's when I became a vice president of product marketing, industry marketing, and sales enablement. And that's when I really found my passion, which is go to market. You talked about value-based selling, value creation, working with clients, working with sales, working with marketing, and working with product, and really bringing all that together. So in the middle part of my career, stage two was really as a product marketer. And I sat within the marketing organization. I reported to two incredible chief marketing officers. And as opposed to supporting marketing as a subject matter expert, I was truly part of the marketing organization. Really started to understand and get a great feel for demand generation, analyst relations, content creation, graphic design, et cetera. And that really propelled me to where I am now, which is being an executive, working for multiple companies, being a leader, which is really important to me in terms of being able to shape careers, have an impact on the organization, really help with growth. And so the third part of my career has been serving as an executive, as either the chief product officer or the chief marketing officer for various software companies, leading teams, creating teams, building teams, shaping careers, providing platforms and opportunities for individuals to propel their careers is really the third part. So if you'd asked me back in the mid-90s, do you aspire to be the CMO, chief marketing officer? I would have said, how do you spell that? Because I was a product person. And being that product marketer and being, you know, through that stage and sitting in marketing really allowed me to find, like I said, my passion and what I like to do, which is really from a go-to-market perspective. And so, yeah, so that's my background. It's where I came from.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you for not knowing exactly where things are going to end up, right? Like, I don't know what my career is going to look like 10, 15, 20 years from now. And I feel like a lot of people are in your shoes, right? So when you're talking about making that initial transition from being product focused, sales supported into product marketing, you know, what initially drove that desire for change in your mind? And how do you view the lessons that you've taken from both sides of the aisle?
It doesn't come easily. These were big transition points in my career that I spent a lot of time contemplating, worrying about, thinking about what this was going to lead to in the future. And if I could go back and tell myself that it's going to be okay, you'll find your path, then it'd be a lot easier. But in the moment, it's one of the hardest things that you have to decide, which is, do you want to go down that path? So when I first came out of school, I did professional services. We created the product management organization. And the question was, do I want to do product management? Do I want to be in professional services? Do I want to be client facing? Do I want to be internally focused? Do I want to build product? Do I want to deploy product? Those were all questions that I had to ask. And what I found myself doing was taking on new challenges, saying that you don't understand, or you may not understand or know what's happening or what it will be. But if you're willing to embrace what will come and you're open-minded, then those opportunities become inflection points and milestones in your career. So that's really the way I look at it. I've been the first person in my job in multiple roles with multiple companies, which means change management, transition, getting buy-in from existing employees, hiring on new employees, blending teams. So, you know, the biggest value or the nugget that I've gained is be open to change, be willing to embrace it. I know you can't control everything, but really then take it to heart and determine what's best for you going forward. And if you do what's right by the company, you do what's right by the customer, whoever your customer is, internally or externally, it'll turn out okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes perfect sense, right? And to your point about there being challenges throughout your transition through your career and having to start from scratch and start at like the ground floor as the first hire for an organization, I'm sure that you've run into hurdles and growing pains, right? As you look to scale and create value at these new organizations, can you help us understand a little bit more about maybe some of the big hurdles that you've experienced in your careers and how you overcame them?
Yeah. So one of the biggest ones was transitioning from job number one to job number two. So job number one, I joined a software company. I was employee 40. We were 30 million in revenue. And when I left, over a decade later, 350 million in revenue, 2,400 employees, global, organic and inorganic growth. Incredible experience. But being employee 40 provided me a lot of connections, a network that I was able to build organically and natively through time. So when I went to company number two, which was a $15 million company that had 50,000 employees globally, one of the challenges, or I asked during the interview process, what's going to be my biggest challenge? And the comment was building your network. And I didn't understand what that meant, because for 10 plus years with one company, being part of a small company and growing, I had built a network without realizing I'd built a network. Joining a global company with 50,000 employees working remote, understanding how to build a network, how to influence individuals across multiple organizations to help me help them, to help me do my job, that was a huge challenge. That was me not realizing the importance of a network from the beginning, but really quickly becoming, going back to being open to change, understanding what building a network meant, how to do it, how to gain trust. So in the COVID world, we've been forced to work remote. Back in the early 2000s, I did work remote, and not everybody did. So understanding how to build trust, gain confidence, still be able to get things done, being able to get buy-in, that was huge. And so One of the questions you may ask, Rory, is, well, how do you build trust? I build trust through transparency. I'm a big believer in transparency and accountability. If I can tell you what I'm doing, show you what I'm doing, explain to you what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and then on top of that, hold myself accountable for delivery, that's how you build trust. So people want to work with me, hopefully. Right? The way that I go about my business is I want people to work with me. I want people to trust in me because I'm going to tell them what we're doing, why we're doing it, the value to them, the value to us as an organization. And then maybe even just as important, if not more important, is accountability and delivery. So on time, high quality, with value, those are all things that I attribute to what's important to me in terms of my day-to-day activity. So that happens whether I'm working with customers, whether I'm working with my peers, or my team. Because going back to, again, some of the challenges, you know, when you come into an organization and you're the first chief marketing officer or you're the first head of product marketing and you inherit individuals and then you hire individuals, you've got to build a team. And it is that team concept. And how do you build a team is you build it through trust. You build it through transparency. You build it with a vision. And then you have accountability, not only to yourself, but the team going forward, both from a personal and professional perspective. So those are a couple of the big tenets that I live by on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense, right? Like, it's hard to get buy-in for people when you tell them, hey, we need to do things this specific way, unless they can trust and believe in what you're doing and the message, and then also be able to see the vision and see the steps that you're taking to make that happen, right? So do you feel like your focus on collaboration, transparency, and trust is from your background in product? And if not, what do you take from your product background into your current role as a CMO today?
So my ability to focus on trust, transparency, accountability, I think starts with the beginning of my career. I wouldn't necessarily call it because of product or product management. I would say that it was a learning experience throughout. And I think anybody in any job is going to be able to take learnings based on the opportunity. So in this case, it is product management. It is product strategy. The ability to gain influence, share a vision with sales, with customers, with prospects, with partners. In my career, it started because of product. But I would argue that any career starts with the same basic fundamentals around transparency, vision, accountability, trust, communication. In my case, it was product. So I had to learn how to influence individuals. I had to learn how to listen to individuals. I had to learn to get people to trust me, to buy into what I wanted to do in preparation for the company or for my product. And so product management by itself, I don't think was the only thing, but it was the thing that propelled me in my career because that's where I started. But I would argue that the same fundamentals reside now that I'm sitting as a chief marketing officer 25 plus years later. It's just as important to do some of the same fundamental things that I did back in the first part of my career today.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Your network is critical for you in terms of career, professional development, right? And enabling you to do what you want to do, right? So
that's right.
How do we talk about what's happened in your past? What's going on currently, right? What are you doing at SpendHQ? What's getting you excited for the future?
Yeah, so here at SpendHQ, I am the chief marketing officer. We are an enterprise software company focused on financial technology. So we analyze spend on behalf of our customers, identify opportunities for savings in procurement, whether that be direct or indirect spend. How do you get spend under management? How do you ensure compliance with contracts? Things of that nature. So as SpendHQ, you know, we've got an interesting past because we started as part of a consulting company. And the consulting company built out a software arm because they needed their consultants to be able to have a tool by which to analyze spend. It happened a couple of years ago that the company decided that the space itself, the software itself, was mature enough that we spun it off into a separate company. So that's SpendHQ. And so we've expanded to go from spend intelligence to spend analytics to also do procurement performance management. And really what that means is not only are we doing the analysis of your spend, where are you spending it, with who are you spending it, in what category, at the same time, we're also able to offer insights into how you can save going forward. So procurement performance management allows you to do just that. Identify, it's like CRM, it's like Salesforce or your customer relationship management system, where you identify projects, you're able to track savings, you're able to manage activities, you're able to forecast what's going to happen, when, why, by what means, and then you track accordingly. So for me personally, I joined about 6-7 months ago. The main reason I joined SpendHQ was the ability to have an impact, to leave an imprint on an organization that is high growth, SaaS oriented. I started with a team. I inherited a few individuals. I've hired a couple of individuals since then. And really, as the company grows, the marketing needs need to grow. The ability to scale is super important. And so the reason I joined was to do just that, to leave that imprint, to help with growth, to build a marketing organization that will scale over time. I've been fortunate in my career to have done that in prior lives, and I'm excited about doing that again. No challenge is the exact same, but there are similarities that I can leverage based on my experience prior to where I am today. And I'm able to take those learnings, apply them here to SpendHQ, work with my team, again, peers, my direct team, my indirect team, in terms of, you know, driving value.
Gotcha. No, that makes perfect sense. So on that topic of leaving an impact, right? I'm sure that people out there are listening to this podcast and maybe they're in your shoes, right? Where they have recently stepped into a leadership role, maybe their first C-level role, and they're undertaking their first serious role of leadership within an organization, right? You've done a lot throughout the course of your career. What advice would you give to an up-and-coming leader who may or may not be stepping into their first role?
Be confident. Be aware. Listen to others within the company. When I first became a C-level, I had to build that trust with the organization that I inherited. I did a team meeting, and one of the things that one of my team members realized was, hey, this is Prashant's first team meeting as a C-suite. And, you know, I had to learn things that I didn't know in terms of leadership. And I thought I'd been exposed to a lot. I felt prepared. And at the same time, it was a new experience for me. And it was a new experience for the team because it was a new experience for me. So as a person coming into a leadership role, an executive role for the first time, it's, again, be open-minded, listen, don't think you know everything, and work hard to establish that trust with your peers, especially from a marketing perspective. My biggest customer is the customer itself, but it's also our sales organization. We're here to build brand awareness. We're here to build and create opportunities. We're here to build customer success. So I have multiple constituents that I need to service, and my ability to listen, understand the need, and then translate that to an action, and then hold myself accountable is super important. So those are probably the few things that I would say. You go into your first leadership role, be open, be inviting, listen, be humble. That's a word I haven't used yet. Be humble because you are in the process of building trust in a leadership position.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And it's so important to constantly be open to learning new things, trying new things, right? It's tough to grow and develop if you're not willing to challenge yourself, let alone be challenged, right? So that makes perfect sense. And on that note of development, professional development, career development, right? Is there anything that you would recommend to our listeners in terms of like a specific book or newsletter or, you know, piece of content out there that really helped you on that path and helped you maybe understand something better or gained you a new perspective?
Yeah. So I think from my vantage point, it became very product centric early in my career. So there's no one book, unfortunately, that I can point to. There are lots of great leadership books. The biggest thing that I would tell you is read multiple books, read newsletters, attend classes if you can. And the reason I say that is because not everyone consumes information in the same way. Not all lessons that are, let's use a book for example, not all books are equal in terms of what they are focused on. One might be about leadership. One might be about building a team. One might be about understanding and being a domain expert. One might be about marketing best practices, as an example. So one of the classes that I took early in my career was a class called Pragmatic Marketing, which really focused on how do you bring product to market and how do you build best-in-class product? So build product, take it to market. That was important for me because the first 15 years of my career, I was building product, software. And that class was very domain oriented, not specific to my space, but specific to what my activities were. Again, it helped me build a foundation for what I've used later in my career. The other big thing that I would say is learn from your peers, learn from your bosses, your superiors. There's a lot to take in by being in the moment. And that's super important to me. I really wish I had a book or a piece of, you know, newsletter that I could point to. But for me, I just think about the people that I've engaged with, both in my personal career as well as my professional career, the lessons that I've learned from them, such as humility, such as listening, such as leadership, such as taking pride in what you do. So I would tell you, expose yourself to as much, as many things and people as possible, because you don't know what's going to resonate with you. Today, by the way, what resonates with you today may not resonate with you tomorrow. And I think that's also very important. Based on where you are, what you're looking to accomplish, there's never going to be one path that gets you to where you will end up. It's truly about the experience.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense too, because, like, you know, books are static. It's one thing to go out there and get that information and read about it, but it's another thing to see someone that you work with or someone you admire put all of that into practice, right? You can kind of pick their brain on it. So on that note, you know, we've talked about you learning a lot from your peers and people that you work with and people that inspire you. Is there anybody, rather, that maybe we should bring on to the show, someone who you feel is really influential or inspirational out there in the B2B space that maybe could lend some knowledge?
Yeah. So I don't know if you want me to truly drop names right now, but there are a couple of individuals that I think have really persevered. And I think that's the right word. There's an individual who's worked for me on three different occasions. And that person has just become a CMO for the first time. That's what they aspired to be. So me being able to give them that platform, give them those learnings, and persevere to become their C-suite for the first time is great. You've already interviewed a peer of mine in the past, which was wonderful. She's the one that recommended me, and I'm really excited to have worked with her. So yeah, there are a few people that come to mind, but what's interesting from that perspective is I think they can really talk to you about perseverance, consistency, staying on track, having a goal, and then working to achieve it, I think is another great lesson learned from a leadership perspective.
Yeah. Love the goal-oriented mindset. And yeah, Sherry was great. If you're listening right now, you should go give that episode a listen. But say someone's listening to this episode right now, Prashant, your story really resonates with them and they want to get in touch with you and maybe pick your brain a little bit, right? How can people find you after this podcast?
Yeah, of course. You can find me on LinkedIn. Prashant Bhatia. You can look up Spend HQ. You're more than welcome to reach out to me. I can give you my phone number if you like. I'm more than happy to help anybody and everybody that I can. I have been helped by many, and I'm always looking to pass that on to others in any way that I can.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. We really appreciate it. I think there's a lot that people can take away from this in terms of perseverance, trust, transparency, and, you know, cross-department collaboration. So thanks again. Thanks so much for being on our show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.